Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Thanksgiving night here to preview that. Talk about the other things going on. One winning drive from USA Today. It's the Ravens Wire. It's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Kevin Allstriker. Kevin, good morning. How you feeling?
I'm hanging in, guys. Happy Thanksgiving week. And, you know, this team gets a nice little opportunity to improve their AFC North record and get a big win against a better offense than they've faced in recent weeks. But, you know, hopefully a good bounce-back spot for the Ravens offense with that Cincinnati defense.
Now, we just heard during Nolan McGraw's update there, Kevin, about John Harbaugh maybe being more receptive to, rotating on the O-line. I don't know if they were the pioneers of that sort of strategy. I mean, okay, whatever. But, hey, 2 years ago when they went to the AFC Championship game, they were rotating Ronnie Stanley in and out of the games, and they've had success doing it. Why the reluctance this year to do so?
Yeah, I wish I had an answer. I mean, they did it with Stanley that year. Morgan Moses, too, I remember. It was yep. Both tackle spots they were doing it. And, you know, whether it's them wanting to get a feel for who's out there. I mean, we're 3 months into the season, so I think you have a pretty good feel for, you know, who's out there right now. Or whether they just don't trust the depth that they have behind these guys, where, you know, Pesh McCary's not there anymore to be that plug-in guy. Emory Jones hasn't played a snap at the NFL level yet, and you know they clearly just don't really like Ben Cleveland, it feels like. And for, you know, a guy like Corey Bullock, who also is improving at the NFL level, maybe they just feel like they have the best five out there and they don't want to try anything else because, well, you know, the experience isn't there. But at this point, I mean, the rotation itself is an interesting concept because, you know, they've done it for a little bit now, not just in 2023, but, you know, they were doing it a little bit with, I think it was like DJ Fluker and Tyree Phillips and a couple of other guys they've tried it with. So, you know, John Harbaugh said everything's on the table. I mean, he said that about a month ago and didn't really do anything. But, you know, the rotations, that's kind of that's their invention, it feels like. So maybe they're more receptive to that as opposed to just a flat-out change.
Yeah, Kevin, I could see Emory Jones Jr. maybe playing both guards, you know, which I think would be the right thing to do, you know. And then the what do you think? Because Bob asked me, why don't they put in Bullock? And I says the only reason I can see that they don't give Bullock a chance at guard is because he's really the only backup center they have.
Yeah, that is a good point. You know, if he would go down, I guess Ben Cleveland would be the other guy because I guess he has some reps at center. And I don't think they want to put him out there. So that's another option for them at this point. But, you know, and I know that, you know, Daniel Falele has kind of gotten the brunt of all the criticism for the O-line. But, I mean, it's everybody out there, including Andrew Voorhees, who I think had the worst game out of all the offensive linemen against the Jets. So it's interesting. I think, yeah, both guard spots are probably on the table there, you know, whether he rotates in at left or right guard. I'd be curious if they try to evolve their strategy of the rotation and kind of have him do both spots in the same game.
Might be hard for a rookie.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Yeah, it's a lot to put on a guy's plate, especially a guy who hasn't played a snap at the NFL level yet. But, I mean, at this point, you have to try something. But while, I just think that while they're winning, they're not going to make a change. I feel like there's like, all right, they're winning football games. But, you know, in my opinion, that's been more so on the defense and special teams, especially last week, as opposed to the offensive side of the ball. So they got to figure it out because they're going to have to face some more good defenses coming up down the stretch.
Because, Kevin, this offense is hard to watch, you know. And to me, it's all about – because Rosengarten stinks. The two guards are struggling. And Linderbaum – I thought Linderbaum probably played the worst of them all against the Jets.
Yeah, it's a tough situation right now. And especially with the red zone offense, like that's the main concern for me where, you know, you go 2 for 5. But that actually they already were a bottom five red zone offense coming into this game. And 2 for 5 actually brings their percentage down. So I'm curious to look and see where they are among the league this week. But, yeah, it's just like the run game, they're not getting push up front. And the pass game, you know, whether it's Lamar has to make something out of nothing or the throws are, you know, off where he had a couple of those. He's clearly playing injured right now. You know, we saw some throw sail on him and, you know, him get up gingerly. And, you know, he's fighting through the injuries. He's a warrior out there going through it. I mean, again, it feels like it's a new injury every week on the injury report for him. So, you know, he's playing in the games. He's healthy. And he's a very prideful person where he's not going to make any excuses. And, you know, if he's out there playing, you know, his mindset is he has to perform and deliver. And I think that's a really good mindset to have. But, you know, doesn't take away from the fact that the offense hasn't been up to snuff. And it's kind of been a complete 180 from what we saw in the early part of the season where the offense was putting up, you know, in the first half of the year. 40, 30, like all these numbers. And then the defense was the one that was lagging behind. And now the defense has been the unit that stepped up, especially coming out of the bye week, and has made an impact, whereas it's now the offensive unit that's lagging behind. So I think the defense caught momentum starting in that Rams game and you know, coming out of the bye after that. Maybe this is the opportunity for the offense this week against the Bengals defense that is just across the board bad, bottom five in almost every category, it feels like. And so maybe this is the spot where Baltimore's offense gets back on track. Because I think if not now, when? You know, if they can't get it going, especially against a defense that doesn't have Trey Hendrickson and, you know, they've lost some guys to injury too, yeah, I'd wonder if there is a spot where they could get back on track.
Kevin Allstriker, USA Today, the Ravens Wire. Kevin, what's happening on the website as the Ravens and Bengals? Joe Burrow renew acquaintances on Thursday night.
Yeah, a lot of points in this rivalry, especially with the way that these games have gone, especially the way they went last year. You know, the Ravens getting both wins, but high-scoring affair. So talking about, you know, what to look for and diving into key matchups, storylines, and, you know, hopefully the Ravens can extend that win streak to 6.
Have a great holiday. Happy Thanksgiving to you and the family, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving, guys. Yep. Have a good one.
Thanks, Kevin.
There's Kevin Allstriker. Everybody, we'll come back with a whip around. Pardon me. Have some highlights of that Maryland win last night against UNLV. Talk about the other sports happenings on your Monday night heading into Tuesday. And then it's Notes from the North. We bounce around the AFC North. Will Graves, Associated Press. Talk about the Steelers. Richard Skinner, WKRC in Cincinnati. And then Daniel Oyefusi talks about the Browns. Shedeur Sanders making his first start against San Francisco.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday, yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday. Because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium, unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around.
Every sport.
Every game.
Everything.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Maryland.
Time for the Whip Around. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Nolan McGraw's on the other side of the glass. Late last night. If you were awake, 105.7 The Fan. And on TNT, Terps took on UNLV. College basketball extravaganza, the Players Era Festival, where NIL money is on the table. You got all these big heavy hitters getting themselves involved in said tournament. Buzz Williams was there last year with Texas A&M. But Maryland's been banged up this year. Pharrell Payne got hurt in Marquette. Looked like he wouldn't be back for the rest of the season. He was back in a big way, 20 points, 8 rebounds. Maryland was down a couple of times in the second half. But the guy that they got from Indiana, transfer Miles Rice, made his return for the first time in a couple of weeks and made his presence felt.
Driving dish by Watts. Alston out. Rice for three. Yes! And Miles Rice in his return game has hit a couple of triples. It's a one-point game, 49-48 UNLV.
Maryland Radio Network, Miles Rice, 23 minutes at 8.6 assists, which is the big news because right now Diggy Coit's kind of running the point. He's more of an off-guard guy, even though he's a little smallish in size. Nolan, he did not zap out for 41 like he did against Mount St. Mary's. It was more like a lot of Clang City. 3 for 11 from the floor. 3 for 10 from beyond the arc.
Well, you know he's shooting 10. That's a guarantee. Okay. Shooting 10, either he's making 3 or he's making 8. Nowhere in between.
Maryland has a team 29% from deep, 42% from the floor. Continue to be respectable. From the foul line at 71%, but 20 turnovers, not getting it done. Got Gonzaga coming up 9:30 tonight. They scored 95 points a game. They're tough, tenacious, man-to-man defense. They got depth. They got veterans. They beat Alabama by 10. They've already beaten up on a bunch of quad one teams. So Maryland getting 14.5 tonight against the Zags. And if we're talking about a Maryland win, that will be the signature win of the Buzz Williams era, but still a lot of basketball left to be played there. But Payne's back, Rice is back, and it looks like Solomon Washington is not far behind. So for the first time, we're finally going to get to see the full complement of players that Buzz Williams accumulated in the offseason.
Yeah, and even if all these guys were 100% healthy right from the jump, you're still going to have those growing pains in these first couple weeks of the season. So to get through that, to get past that, the Pharrell Payne one, absolutely huge to get him back. Not only that he's out there, but that he looks like his old self. Extremely efficient, great rebounding. Everything centers around him. He did his job perfectly.
Yeah, seemed to be dunking with great ease last night against the Running Rebels there. Also at college basketball, men, Towson was happening as we were on the air yesterday. They beat Rhode Island. They will play Liberty coming up at noon. We'll keep you up to date on that score. That tip down in Florida. It's the Jimmy's Chocolate ESPN thing. Why not? It's feast week. Can't feast on chocolate. I don't know what to tell you. But Liberty and Towson coming up at noon. We'll keep you up to date on that score. UMBC beat Notre Dame of Maryland last night, 102-52. NBA, Toronto beat Cleveland, 110-99. Manuel Quickly had 11 points, 6 boards, 7 assists. Brandon Ingram had 37. Toronto, they're cooking, baby.
Yeah.
Cook it with gas.
I like it.
Second best team in the East right now, record-wise, behind Detroit, who won again last night. Let's see. Miami beat Dallas 106-102. Jameer Young, Terps for the Heat. Did not play coach's decision, but Tyler Hero is back, and he had 24 as he returned to their lineup. Denver beat Memphis 125-115. The Joker had a triple-double, as he tends to do, 17-10-16. Santi Aldama for the Grizz, Loyola Greyhound, 12-6-6. Cam Spencer, Boys Latin, also out of Loyola among his many college stops. He had 18, but it was Denver in the win column. And New Orleans beat the Bulls. A high-scoring game, 143-130. Derrick Queen now starting for the Pelicans. He had 8. Jalen Smith, Maryland, had 13. And Mount St. Joe, Baltimore. Like both these guys from Baltimore at 13. Kevin Herter was sick. Got the night off as New Orleans beat the Chicago team there. And then let's see. Golden State beat Utah 134-117. Steph Curry had 31. Pat Spencer, Cam's brother, also for Boys Led, also for Baltimore, had 3 points. For the Warriors, NHL last night, Capitals beat the Columbus Blue Jackets 5-1.
Yeah, and Chychrun, the defenseman, had 2 goals. Tom Wilson, he's making a strong push for the Canadian Olympic team, had a goal and an assist. And Bob, the Caps moved because just about a week ago they were in last place in the Metro. Now they're in fourth place with 26 points in the Metro, and they play Winnipeg. They're hosting Winnipeg tomorrow night.
So the Capitals getting themselves a little streak going rough stretch there for sure. It's the whip around. Vinny at 81.057 The Fan here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. A couple of real quick this day in sports histories. Today is November the 25th, 1980, Superdome in New Orleans. I remember listening to this round-by-round reports on the radio. I think it was WCBM. Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, the rematch. No Moss! Mm-hmm. Roberto Duran said he ate too many steaks prior to the fight. Then he threw up his arms in the middle of the fight, middle of the eighth round, said, I'm done, no mas. Sugar Ray Leonard, who was dominating the fight, I don't know why the scorecards were so close, he regains his WBC welterweight championship in this one down at the Superdome. Hart, 45 years ago to me is just incredible. Told you, all that passage of time kicks you into short ones. How about this? Taking place 6 years ago. More up your alley. Monday Night Football in L.A., the old Coliseum. Mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson threw 5 touchdown passes. 2 to Hollywood Brown, who was a rookie. 2 to Nolan's favorite receiver, Willie Snead.
Whoa.
Mark Ingram had 2 touchdowns. And the Ravens puffy pants the Rams. 45-6. That seemed like it was only yesterday. That was 6 freaking years ago.
Was that the first Jackson 5?
Yes.
There you go. There's the inception of it.
And what I remember, aside from Lamar going crazy, was the Rams wearing them ugly-ass all-gold uniforms.
Ugh.
And they've done the impossible. They made their uniforms into uglier than they were that particular night. But Lamar basically, and the Ravens were really cooking at this point in time. That's what Ingram was like. He's the MVP of the league, the big trust, and all that stuff started. 6 years ago.
Yeah. Marcus Peters was jawing with Jalen Ramsey. Fun night.
Oh, they were ready to throw it. They were going in the locker room, the tunnel together. And I think Jimmy Smith and Peters had picks that game, too.
Peters did for sure. I remember that one.
Yeah. Jimmy had a sack and an interception, if I'm not mistaken. So there you go. That was 6 years ago. When we come back, current day Ravens. They won 5 in a row. Not as good as that team, but they are tied for first. With the Pittsburgh Steelers, and we'll bounce around the division. Will Graves, talk about Pittsburgh. What's going on with that? And then we got Richard Skinner, WKRC at Cincinnati. Joe Burrow is back. What the hell is that going to mean? Coming up Thursday night. And then Daniel Oyefusi, ESPN.com. Shedeur Sanders gets his first home start against San Francisco coming up as Cleveland trying to salvage something here at the end of 25.
Big deal brands are on sale right now at Designer Shoe Warehouse. Save up to 25% on select styles from the brands on everyone's list, like Nike, Adidas, New Balance, Crocs, Reebok, and more. Because the only thing we love more than dropping a name is dropping a price. You don't want to miss this one. These brands are almost never on sale. So shop the DSW Holiday Name Drop Sale today at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Bengals, Browns, Steelers, and Ravens. Vinny and Haney's Notes from the North.
Turn it up Tuesday. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. We'll talk to him coming up during the Funhouse in a few minutes. Ravens back at it tomorrow, or Thursday, taking on the Cincinnati Bengals. Now tied for first in the AFC North. And if the playoffs started today, the Ravens would be in, taking on the Chargers at M&T Bank Stadium. But they're not in by any stretch of the imagination. And here to talk about the team that they have caught, air quotes, Pittsburgh Steelers. All of our guests, by the way, are on the Window Nation guest hotline. Notes from the North from the Associated Press. Let's welcome in Will Graves. Will, good morning. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy holidays to you and the family as we bring that one up for sure. But now that Baltimore has caught Pittsburgh, are the Steelers overly concerned with the fact that, I don't want to say it was an insurmountable lead, but a comfortable lead in the division has pretty much disappeared all of a sudden?
You know, happy Thanksgiving to y'all, too. I mean, I think their concern is more along the lines of the fact that they just haven't played very well. And it is, you know, we talk about this being a week-to-week league. The Steelers, on a weekly basis, you literally have no idea which version of this team you're going to get. And for a veteran group, especially on defense, to be for it to be late November and you have no idea what's going to come on a given Sunday, got to be really alarming, especially for a head coach that prides himself on putting together a great team.
Hey, will Aaron Rodgers be back this week, do you think?
You know, that's the expectation. I'm a little surprised. I think we were all a little surprised that he did not play last week. You know, the team said he was limited in practice. I can tell you that, you know, the limitations were hard to see. So, you know, we're going to talk to Mike T here in about 25 minutes and maybe get a little more clarity on why they went with that decision. But I really don't think that, you know, Mason Rudolph didn't particularly distinguish himself like as he had in his previous, still-in starts for the Steelers. But I'm really not sure the quarterback was the issue in that game.
Now, what about Sunday's game? Buffalo, you know, that's going to be that's a huge game for both teams.
Yeah, I mean, look, the division is basically gone for the Bills at this point, right? I mean, I think, you know, the Patriots would have to, you know, sort of hand the, you know, Drake May would have to get hurt. Something, you know, would have to really happen for them to kind of lose the control they have in the division. So the Bills are playing for a wild card spot. There's a big jumble there, and this is one of those games that could certainly be a separator once we get to Week 18. So, you know, they got to be smarting. They have not played their best ball. And if I'm the Steelers, and the way the defense is playing, I mean, Josh Allen could be looking at another 6-touchdown game if we get the bad version of the Steeler defense.
Now, how has the offensive line been playing?
Not bad. I mean, I think what we found, though, the last couple weeks is when pressure has been generated, it's because guys aren't getting open down the field. I mean, let's remember, for Aaron Rodgers, who played horrifically in that game against the Chargers, at least by his standards, took the first safety of his entire career. And when he was explaining that play, he said, look, I was waiting for guys to get open. And it certainly looked like Mason Rudolph when he wasn't thinking Duncan, when he was trying to look downfield, especially for chunk plays later in the game, there just was no separation. So he had no time, you know, so he's holding on the ball a little bit longer and he's getting a little more pressure. I think the line has actually been okay, especially in the run game. I mean, Kenneth Gainwell and Jaylen Warren have been really good the last few weeks. And sort of the question around here is, well, why aren't they getting the ball more? And that is a, you know, Arthur Smith sometimes can get high on his own supply. I think he's done a really good job of being creative, given the limitations they have in the passing game. But sometimes you just got to do what you're good at, and the Steelers probably need to figure out, you know what, we're good at running the ball and the quarterback stuff, you know, we need a caretaker there, and if we can control the clock and keep our defense off the field, that's the best way for them to win games.
Will Graves covers the Steelers for the Associated Press. Will, as we said, happy Thanksgiving to you and the family, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, take care, guys.
All right, let's take it to Cincinnati. Ravens hosting the Bengals coming up Thanksgiving night, 8:20 from WKRC in Cincinnati. Let's welcome back Richard Skinner. And Richard, Joe Burrow makes that long-awaited return to this Bengals lineup. Unfortunately, will not have T. Higgins at his disposal. But we have seen here Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow do really nasty things to this Ravens secondary before.
Yeah, I mean, Ja'Marr Chase has had what, a couple 200-yard games, had that huge game last year, that Thursday night game. Yeah, and it's funny, and it's occurred in Baltimore, of all places, a couple of times. So the other part, though, to the equation is Joe Burrow versus Lamar Jackson. Joe Burrow is 1-7 and starts against Lamar Jackson, so it hasn't fared. Well, they've been some fun games, right? But they haven't fared very well.
Now, Richard, how do you think Joe's going to respond if he's got to move around a lot in the pocket and if he's getting pressured?
That's the $64,000 question. We talked to him this afternoon at 2:45. And, you know, I do want to ask him. I mean, one of his strengths is unscripted plays, and he's really good at extending plays. Does he have to change that now? That you know, is it by design that he has to change that? Is it because he doesn't want to push it too much that he has to change that? I'm really interested to hear what his answer is to see, does he just say, you know what, I'm deemed healthy, I feel healthy, I'm going to play the way I've always played. I think it'll be way interesting to find out come Thursday night, because if he's a sitting duck, that'll explain a lot of things.
Now, Richard, is the defense getting any better?
Okay, statistically, I'm going to tell you yes, because they've held the last two opponents under 400 yards, which they're averaging giving up 400 yards. The defense gave up only 20 points to the Steelers because they scored two defensive touchdowns, and they only gave up 19 to New England. So, yeah, are they getting better? Yes. Are they close to good? No. But, yeah, they are getting better. There's some signs of some individual life. Geno Stone had his best game of the season, even the pick six aside. He actually didn't have a missed tackle in this game, which has been rare for him. Miles Murphy's played pretty well the last couple of games. Barrett Carter, the rookie linebacker, who at times literally looks like he's a chicken with his head chopped off running around out there, actually played really well. And they were physical against the run for a change. That's a New England team that loves to run the football, and they barely had over 100 yards. And because of the Bengals, were actually physical in the run game. So are they getting better? Yes. Are they any good? No.
Now, Richard, what about the pass rush? Without Hendrickson, you know, and Stewart and stuff, where do they get the pass rush from?
They don't. They haven't. That's the thing. They did blitz a few times more. In fact, Geno Stone was pretty effective blitzing a few times in that New England game. And I think that's where Al Golden's gone with this, the defensive coordinator of, I can't get home with four, especially without Trey Hendrickson. And so I'm going to have to throw more blitzes at people, and the consequences be damned, because I think that's where they're at, that you're going to have to create your own pressures through blitz packages. And I think you'll see them do that even against Lamar, just because it's the only way they can generate some kind of a pass rush.
Richard Skinner, WKRC in Cincinnati. Scale of 1 to 10, Cincinnati's chances of winning this game Thursday night, in your opinion, are what?
0.3.
Nice. not Blutarski, but close.
Yes, exactly. 0.0. No, it's a big ask. It's a short turnaround on a Thursday night in the division. You know, while you get Ja'Marr Chase back, as you mentioned earlier, you lose T. Higgins, and they're just not the same offense when the two of them are not on the field together. And this defense, I just don't think is capable of getting a ton of stops. I know Baltimore's offense is struggling. I know they're searching for answers, but they'll do more than enough, in my opinion, to win this game.
Richard Skinner, WKRC, Cincinnati. Richard, appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy holidays to you and the family.
Thanks, Richard.
Yep, same to you guys. Yep. Take care.
There's Richard Skinner, everybody. Let's go to Cleveland. The Browns coming off a win against the Raiders. They get San Francisco coming up. Joining us now to talk about Shedeur Sanders making his first home start from ESPN.com. Baltimore Kid, let's welcome back to the show Daniel Oyefusi. And Daniel, good morning. Appreciate the time as always. And hey, look, Shador's stat line wasn't exactly Bernie Kosar in his prime, but it's a winning stat line. And I guess by going out there and leading them to a victory, what does that do for the locker room and, you know, just the players themselves after what has been, you know, another frustrating year?
Yeah, well, I'll say Shedeur Sanders, as expected, brought some juice on and off the field. You know, the end result in terms of the overall aspect of the offense wasn't much different than we've seen from Dylan Gabriel, just 24 points play by play, just not getting a ton. But he did generate three of the longest pass plays of the season for the Browns. Now, obviously, one of those plays was a 66-yarder that Dylan Sampson took to the house on a screen pass. But he did, you know, show some stuff out of structure, make some big throws down the field. And in talking to his teammates the day after the game, after the win, they talked about how his personality has kind of really started to rub off on the rest of the team, especially now that he's not a backup. He doesn't have to maybe compromise his personality. He can lead in his own unique way. So they're definitely going to try to rally around him and rally around his play and his personality as they get ready for his first home start against the 49ers on Sunday.
What's the fan base's anticipation? Are they for Shedeur or are they against Shedeur?
Well, I think by and large, this is a fan base that was really, really excited and was really waiting and anticipating when he was going to get into the lineup. And I think that the more rational Browns fans will acknowledge that it was not a perfect start by any means. He did make some mistakes. And again, you saw a lot of the same issues that we saw with Joe Flacco and Dylan Gabriel under center. But yeah, he does provide those big plays and maybe, you know, like you just kind of have roll the dice and have fun with these last six games and kind of see where it leads you. I mean, this crowd at Huntington Bank Field, they erupted when he made his debut in the second half of that game against the Ravens. So just imagine if they introduce the offense and they introduce him, what that reception is going to be in his first home start.
Daniel, how about that defense? Man, it's still, you know, unbelievable. I mean, the way that they continue with, you know, a subpar offense, Schwartzy's done a hell of a job. And talk about Myles Garrett a little bit, how unbelievable the seasons he's having.
Yeah, it really is a shame that, you know, what is probably going to be a historic season for Myles Garrett, breaking the single-season sack record. He's just five away from doing that. It's really a shame that it might get lost a bit in what is another losing season for the Browns. But, yeah, he's really taken it to another level this year. I mean, if you talk to a lot of people around him and his teammates, they say, like, he's like this every single year. It's just that he gets so much attention that maybe sometimes the sacks don't show. But it really is coming together. He's upped it not only on the field but off the field, being a leader. He's talked about how really this defense has been constructed in a way that is allowing him to get more of those sacks. They're really focused on the interior rush, and they added Mason Graham and Malik Collins, who are having great years. So they're pushing the pocket, forcing quarterbacks not to be able to step up. And then before you know it, that's Myles Garrett bending the corner. So it really is a special, special season that we're seeing. And it's almost, you know, unfortunate that, you know, that the Browns aren't able to play into January with this defense, as Myles Garrett has kind of lamented over the years.
Daniel Oyefusi, ESPN.com, covers the Browns and the NFL. Daniel, always appreciate the time. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy holidays to you and the family. And we'll catch up with you soon.
Most definitely. Take
Thanks,
care.
Daniel.
There's Daniel Oyefusi, everybody. We'll come back, reset the program for you. Talk to Nolan McGraw. Might not have time for a full-on fun house, but we'll dabble, if you will. Red Sox made a trade for another starting pitcher. What the hell's that all about? News from the Nest coming up top of the hour. Buy or sell. Turn it up Tuesday money. And we'll talk Maryland hoops and football with Jeff Ehrman from InsideMDSports.com. Maryland men, they got Gonzaga coming up tonight. Big underdogs is Buzz Williams Turtles. And then Maryland football wrap up the regular season as underdogs against Michigan State. Red Sox made a trade. I mean, the Orioles made a trade. It's not like they're sitting on their hands or anything, but, you know, Boston filled a need with a guy that's been pretty productive at his position throughout his career.
Yeah, and an initial reaction here, Boston traded for Sonny Gray, veteran starting pitcher, most recently here with the Cardinals. So you're thinking, oh, well, here we go again, last year. Now, Sonny Gray's not Garrett Crochet, but still, Red Sox, pretty active early on in free agency, and obviously the big trade last year for Crochet. Orioles didn't end up getting anything in the pitching department that was notable. So here we go again. Sonny Gray, pretty nice addition for them. Becomes even more aggravating when you look at what they had to give up. Just two pieces here. One minor leaguer and one major leaguer. Richard Fitz, up and down reliever for them. Really hasn't thrown a ton of innings, but one good year or one solid year and one pretty bad year. That's not really breaking the bank to give up anything. The other piece, the prize piece, Brandon Clarke. Left-handed starting pitcher, he's 22 years old, high A ball. So he's the fifth-ranked prospect in the Red Sox system, but he's not a top 100 prospect in baseball. So when I look at what the Orioles say, if they were the ones trying to get Sonny Gray, maybe it would have cost them Boston Bateman, kind of a similar-aged A ball starting pitcher, someone in that range, a throw-in reliever or a throw-in other piece. Take Heston Kerstad all you want. I don't know. I mean, take him and somebody else. I mean, that's where the frustration lies, is you start looking at all these other moves that teams make and you stack it up. Well, what would the Orioles have had to give up to get that same player? And I'm looking at the compensation here, and I say the Orioles couldn't have topped that. They couldn't have matched that. It just doesn't sit right. No, but I don't know if they were in on him or not.
Oh, and it's 40 mil for, 41 the, next, million. For the next 2 years?
No, $41 million for one.
Ah, so that's maybe that might be the deterrent. But to your point, Nolan.
For who? Sonny Gray?
Yes.
I'm seeing $35 million for this coming year, $30 million the year after, a club option.
Yeah, so point is, we don't know if Mike Elias made the phone call to St. Louis, where he's got connections, by the way. He was with the Cardinals. I mean, that $60 million price tag potentially might be a deterrent, as they could be more in line, Nolan, to be getting a big splash with a free agent starting pitcher. I don't know that to be a fact by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, Clark's a magic bean. But to your point, not a top 100 prospect at all. But Sonny Gray, not the Cy Young level guy that he was in previous stops, Oakland and Minnesota. And then he got the big money. He didn't fare all that well, if memory serves, when he pitched for the Yankees. But, you know, he would help the Orioles rotation. Instead, they get to see him.
Yeah, I mean, look, the price, to me, that's price of doing business when you start talking about starting pitcher contracts. And if I'm trading for a guy, I'm looking at this. I mean, yeah, it's for 2026, and then you get the club option the year after. It's not even a player option. So this is totally risk-free. Okay. Obviously, you don't want it to blow up in your face, but if you're Boston, if he's somehow, you know, if he's even worse than he was last year, he regresses, starts to fall off in his upper 30s, well, you just cut bait. You know, you're not on the hook for 2 years. You're on the hook for one. So you didn't give up hardly anything to get the guy. And it's risk-free in terms of contract structure. I would have personally loved the Orioles to be in.
Well, you know, Boston was proactive last year. Got Garrett Crochet, who I would have taken in a heartbeat. I've lamented that for over a year now. And we'll see if this move will benefit them. Not to that level. You never know. But Sonny Gray does have a track record of success during his major league career. So, Nolan, outside of being mad at Mike Elias again, what else is going on in your mind?
Well, it's a mixed bag today. We got the bad out of the way. The good news is, football-related, semifinalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame have been announced. Two former Ravens prominently included here. Marshall Yanda has advanced, and Terrell Suggs has advanced as well. So we'll see what happens. Well, Earl Thomas technically advancing here, former Raven as well, but still. Those are the two that we've keyed in on, Suggs, Yanda. They were eligible last year. Neither one made it in the first year. It was always kind of an uphill battle there, long shot. Year two, I'd like to get at least one in, and Suggs probably the better shot.
Yeah, I mean, he was Defensive Rookie of the Year, NFL Player of the Year. He's got two Super Bowl rings, got one in Kansas City. Let's not forget, he wasn't at the height of his powers then, but I would think Terrell Suggs is destined for Canton, and Yanda became, what, third-round pick? Because they drafted Ben Grubbs in the first round, and they had to choose between the two, and they chose Yanda, twice paid him. And, boy, they got their money's worth for that guy. But I would think Suggs, he's got to be close to a lot. Haloti Ngata obviously did not advance. Right?
No.
Yeah,
nope.
Since you brought
what
that
other
up.
Pass rushers are on the list, Nolan, that Suggs is competing with?
Well, they got listed at linebacker with Luke Kuechly. Defensive,
he's an inside guy.
Yeah, defensive line, Robert Mathis, Vince Wilfork, Kevin Williams. Outside linebacker, Willie Anderson, Lomas Brown, Richard Webb. Outside, I don't even know what I'm reading right now.
Yeah, Kuechly would have been a first ballot if his career lasted longer. He had a Kirby Puckett, Kenny Easley, who just passed away, sadly, career. Terrell Davis, you crammed all your stuff into a very brief period of time.
Yeah.
I think Kuechly gets in eventually. But I think Suggs.
I think Suggs got a good chance.
What about Eli? I know he's part of the equation here. Philip Rivers and Drew Brees, right?
Yep, those are the three quarterbacks. Eli, a finalist last year, didn't make it in. Heavily debated player. But I think he might have to wait even longer.
I'm with you.
They like to break up the big-name quarterbacks so they can have one headline each class. So, assuming even if they let Brees and Rivers in the same year, which even then I think they might make one of those guys wait, there's no way Eli's getting in this year.
I think Brees is definitely getting in.
Like, retired, holding all the records or most of them. You know, the NFL and the writers could be so sinister that they'll put Eli and Brady in at the same time. Wouldn't that be crazy?
Yeah.
Because Brady's, what, 4 years retired now? Because Mayfield's been there for 4 years. He's been there for three. Yeah. Brady's eligible in another year and a half.
Damn.
And then him and Eli going at the same time, where Eli will get most of the fan adulation ahead of Tom Brady, the GOAT of all time. I think I'd break out the popcorn for that one. That'd be pretty cool.
Other storyline to keep an eye on, special teams. Adam Vinatieri was a finalist last year. He is again this year. Very rare company for place kickers in the Hall of Fame, but if there was one worthy, it would be him.
Yeah.
Just a matter, I mean, how long did it, there's no, because there's no real comparable, how do you go, how we got to make this guy wait 3-4 years? Yeah, I don't understand the logic.
Yeah, and Stenerud waited forever to get in, and then who was it? Morton Anderson, I believe, got in.
Yep, Morton got in.
He waited. Vinatieri probably gets in. How does this bode for Tucker, assuming Tucker gets back into the, if he ever does, good graces of the public eye, trying out for the Saints, by the way?
Well, we talked about him before like he was a sure thing. And this, I'm not even talking about the off-the-field stuff here. But if he doesn't get another shot, or he has to miss, say, like a full season and then come back, I don't know. Like, is the track record so strong from everywhere up to 2024 that you just overlook 2024? I don't know. I think for a kicker, they got to have, obviously, the longevity, case in point, Vinatieri. I think, like, Tucker would need, like, 4, even 5 more years of top-tier kicking.
Wow. Oh, that ain't happening.
Yeah, and Vinatieri wasn't exactly lights out towards the end of his career, but his legs were about to fall off.
Plus, he was kicking in a dome there.
But his well-documented game-winning kicks.
Yes.
But Tucker won a Super Bowl, the Mile High Miracle. He kicked the field goal that actually won that game as a rookie. Had the record for the longest field goal. I mean, he was brilliant from beyond 50 for many, many years. We shall see. But I would not be surprised that Terrell Suggs gets into the Hall of Fame this year.
I'm right there with you.
I think that resume is pretty strong for that level of accomplishment, for sure. All right, news for the Nets coming up next. We're going to hear from the current day Ravens. We're going to count some dough, hopefully turn it up Tuesday style, buy or sell, talk about the sports subjects of this day. And Jeff Furman, talk Maryland basketball and football with him from InsideMDSports.com.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
One day only, Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still-trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help, you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change while supplies last.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.